When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Hey guys, welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast. We've got another little installment for you, and it's going to be a bit of a crazy one because Tom, I believe, just talking to Tom before we came on air, hasn't had a great night's sleep. What exactly is going on with you, Tom?
Do you know you are busting that kind of this morning vibe? Like, because you've been out in Portugal with like your
for most of my adult life, yeah.
You've been out in Portugal now for 2 years. Got this.
Us expats, we just fucking want Britain out of the EU.
But you love being in the EU. mate, I had a terrible night's sleep, right?
What happened, Tom?
2 a.m. this morning, I hear some sounds downstairs. Mm. And I am like, you know that, have you had this where I just literally, I didn't just wake up, it was like, poof, I wake up, right? And I'm like, shit. Someone's trying to get in the house, or someone's already in the house. I have alarms. Right. I have alarms, and you know the house is alarmed up. But I'm like, maybe they've bypassed the alarm. There's some fucking.
And just people listening. Tom does have alarms. He's not just saying that because he's just panicked about giving away the level of security at his home.
I'm gonna get more because last night was a fucking fit. So I hear it. I flick the.
What
cover.
Did you hear? Can you sort of describe what
I
the
hear?
Noise
some
is
knocking
like?
About, right? And then I hear some sort of like, yeah, just like. Just general sort of knocking sound. Sounds like the back door's been knocked. Like that.
Okay. I would argue doesn't need a demonstration. sounds like somebody's knocking at the back door.
I freak out, right? Jump out of bed. Mm. And then I'm in go mode, right? Anxiety.
What's Catherine doing at this point?
Sleeping.
All right.
Right. Anxiety turns to adrenaline. Adrenaline is
so pumping. She's sending them away. Got no idea that the king of the castle's stepping up ready to protect... His mate, homestead.
So I take the stairs like 3x3, right? Jumping down the stairs. I sprint into the living room, right?
Yeah.
Just in my underpants, right?
Yeah.
Half of me...
I imagine at this point anyone has been scared away at this stage.
Yeah, well, you know the thing about it is, there's a part of you when you think you're going to get burgled, right? And like you haven't got time to sort of pick out an outfit because there's a chance if the burglar's got a little bit about them, they might be carrying a knife or a gun.
Sure, because you don't want to be, you know, you're in the dark and you're thinking, what can I put on that's scary? Do you know what I mean?
It's scary.
I could throw down.
If you could bust up in a Stone Island jacket and a pair of fucking, yeah. like, sort of
let's
like,
fucking go. Let's go.
Wear a fucking Timberland's rugged boots and then come down like you're dressed for a fucking row on fucking Green Street. There's a good chance that they'll go, oh, yeah. Shit.
But yeah. Smash down a Stella on your way down the stairs.
In a pair of Homer Simpson underpants.
And briefs, by the way. He's not even got boxes on. He wanted a bit of extra security last night.
Yeah, just that security. Get your balls all nice and tight. But my thought is, like, if the guy attacks you when you're down there, a guy or girl, it could be either, like, then you have to get sent to hospital and you're just in your underpants. I always think that's the worst fucking vibe, right? Or naked, if you sleep naked. Because you sleep naked, right?
No. I have slept naked once. I found it deeply disturbing. I've got to be honest with you. I would consider myself very hygienic, right?
Yeah, I would consider myself very hygienic.
Regardless of that, sleeping naked made me feel like I needed to set fire to the sheets.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
I just sheet against dick and arse. I don't know.
Do you have satin or silk sheets?
No. The way you answered that question was like, those are the only two options. You have satin or silk.
No, but it's a weird thing. Like, so I was glad that I had underpants on.
As was the potential burglar,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the last thing you want to do is disturb a burglar whose first reaction is to laugh.
Just say to his mate, so I broke into his house. The bloke turns up. I've only woken up the owner. It turns out, I think he wanted to fuck me.
Massive ogre-like fella, but beefing
himself up as much as he could just to avoid humiliation.
Smashing it on the way down the stairs. He did that thing where he hunched his shoulders, but no, we were both embarrassed, to be fair. I took the TV and he was quite all right with that.
I told him I'd take the TV and I wouldn't tell anyone what the size of his dick was, and we agreed that was a fair deal.
I'm obviously, watched... watched EastEnders before I came down and now I'm telling everyone about his tiny dick. So I get downstairs and it's my fucking dog has like decided to have a walk around. He never does this. He's walking around the house, knocking things over in the dark. He's usually, and he makes a real racket, right? I'm like there's a part of me that's just like exhaling and then just looking at him looking at me. It was actually worse than a burglar because he saw me scared, adrenaline pumping.
Has he never ever done that before?
Not that loud. He might have a little trot about, but he was knocking things around and fucking, So I let him out for a piss. I sort of stood there in the cold air. Like, you wouldn't know this because you're out in fucking 40 degrees heat at the moment in Portugal, but it's pretty nippy over here. It's pretty cold. I stood out there in the cold air.
Back tonight, mate. Don't worry about that.
Breath just fucking out there, just sort of. One of my neighbours was having a party. I just sort of stood there, just thanking the Lord, really, that we hadn't been broken into.
One of your neighbours was having a party last night.
Yeah, a massive party. Do you have that?
On a Sunday night?
Sunday, always bank holiday, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is.
2 a.m. Vibes, brother. 2 a.m. Vibes. Music
playing.
Do you
get with your neighbours?
Yeah, they're sweet people.
But how close were you to getting an invite to that?
I don't think, I wouldn't have gone if I'd been invited.
No, but I mean, like, do you reckon you're on a long list?
These people like a party. They'll have one every bank holiday, every sort of like, every occasion there seems to be a party. They live like 3 or 4 doors down from me.
Right, okay.
It's like, when you can say it's been a kid's birthday during the day, but it's crept into the night and someone's fucking snuck out and got a little bit of whatever. And then you can hear sort of adults at 2 a.m. sort of listening to fucking George Ezra jumping up and down on a fucking bouncy castle.
You've got to question your life choices when you're smashing through a bit of bugle on a kid's third birthday, don't you?
but you can tell that's what's going down.
Like 2 a.m. Doing a line behind the bouncy castle.
2 a.m. I'm standing there in my underpants outside in the freezing cold, looking at my dog take a piss, listening to some people taking copious amounts of drugs, jumping up and down on the bouncy castle and laughing and thinking, at least if there'd been a burglar, I'd have had fucking some sort of event of this evening.
I think in any context, in any kind of circumstances, listening to other people having a good time while you're having a quiet night just makes you feel sad. Like what you did, there's nothing wrong with what you did, right? You went to bed normal time.
Let me
right?
just Fine. Say, by the way, I did, like, when we said this, like, even if I was at that party, I still wouldn't be there at 2 a.m. I can tell you now, those days are gone.
Yeah. But you've done nothing wrong there. There's nothing sad about what you've done. You've gone to bed at a normal time. You've been woken up by the dog. You thought there was a burglar. Arguably, quite an admirable thing you did. You jumped up. I would have woken up Lisa in a heartbeat and go, fucking hell, what's that?
Would you really?
What's that? What do you reckon that is? Yeah, 100%, mate.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't try. Because I need someone else to be in the emergency.
You know what you were
going to
say?
What?
You were like, oh, just like, I don't trust myself not to fuck a guy up if I fucking go downstairs.
No. Do you know what? I was going to say I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to make the right decisions in those situations.
You know, a guy was telling me the other day, right? Just on this, right? I had a driver the other day, lovely geezer, telling me that his house, someone tried to burgle his house. He went out with a bat and chased him down the street, right? And then got told by the police that if they'd done anything, he'd be in a load of trouble. So you can protect your house, but I think you've just got to ask them to leave when you get downstairs.
Okay, but what I don't understand about that is they know that you don't want them to be there. So what happens is you go downstairs and you go, sorry, going to just say, we would actually like to keep our stuff, so can you just leave?
Misread the situation.
Sorry, I thought this stuff was surplus to requirements. But now we've had a chat with you and we realise actually you'd rather we weren't here.
No. Shake here, mate. Shake here. No. I actually respect what you're doing.
You know what? Fair play to being up front.
I've worked hard for this stuff and I'm just not ready to let it go at the moment.
Oh, do you know what, mate? We came in. A lot of the time you come into these houses, you think these people don't even know they own this stuff. But
you've come down
and you've said you like it. You're proud of your ownership of it. Do you know, we will leave. And I'm sorry for waking you up.
No, mate. Serious, mate. Take a Twix each from the fridge. A couple of cans of Coke.
You are a scholar and a gentleman. Thank you very much.
Couple of doors down, there's a party going on. They're all out of their fucking heads. I'm pretty much sure that if you were uninvited, they wouldn't even know you are. Just, you know, and nick their stuff.
I used to work at KFC.
Yeah.
And The assistant manager at the KFC that I worked at was an absolute... He wasn't... I was about to say he's an absolute lunatic. It was a very unfair summary of that guy.
Just quickly, I love the idea of someone who's a psychopath who ends up at KFC.
Yeah. It's the only thing that I can sort of keep everything in check. Do you know what I mean? It's just... I put all of my rage into that chicken.
I used to be so hard. I used to be so tough.
You're allowed to keep... Any of the I work there as a vegetarian, by the way. I ate about, I reckon, rough estimate, 300 corn on the cobs during my time working there. The assistant manager there was a really massive geezer, really nice bloke.
Yeah,
I won't name him, but what he used to do was every now and again we used to do the pub. We used to do like the I used to do Friday and Saturday nights, right? When I was at school, so I was like 17, 18. It was like one of my first jobs. So I used to work at Friday, Saturday night. And so you'd be there when the pubs kick out. And you'd almost every week you'd get threatened or something like that. Or somebody would throw something at you or whatever. It was a carnage, right? And the assistant manager, what he would do is when things were kicking off, he would take one of the, you know, the fry baskets.
Yeah.
And he'd just put it in the oil, right? And he'd say to somebody kicking off, come and tell me over here, right? Come and tell me what you want to say, come and tell me over here, right? And it never happened. Like, nobody ever came over the counter. I said to him, why do you always do that? And he said, because once they come over this side, you're allowed to do... I don't know if this is true.
Jesus Christ.
He said, once they come over this side, you're allowed to do whatever you want to them because they've trespassed.
So sinister. So sinister. Is that why you... Is that why you're heating up the rack in that hot hole? No. Yeah. That is just for the chips.
That's just because I like to get head started in case I want a family feast. It's so fucking weird. He put the basket there. You go, mate, we actually need that to do some...
No, I need it.
Smash this guy's fucking face.
With a hot... Fucking hell. That is nuts.
Hello.
So aggressive.
I used to get guys come in and they would just try and threaten free food out of you.
Yeah.
So like, what you know, like, because a lot of the time, if you kick off, people just go, fucking have whatever. Or you just get people come in and just... properly start shouting and screaming at you, threaten to beat you up just so you'd give them a zinger.
What a grift as well.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know, I haven't had to pay for this. I threatened this zinger burger. This fucking tastes even.
Left a 17-year-old kid crying, but it's worth it.
You know the best kind of zinger
burgers. Hot wings.
When you've been really aggressive towards one of the staff there.
I tell you what I call a zinger. When you call a member of staff a that's my zinger.
I paid for the chips, to be fair.
Got an apple pie.
So, you know, I used to, the thing I used to love, you know, when you went out like late and had a late night session, right?
Yeah.
I used to love being friends with the people who worked in, like, those sort of, like, in, I used to love knowing their names and their little laughs.
God.
This is such a tragic thing.
By the way, I'm saying, oh God, I am guilty of this as well, right? But I know what you're about to say.
It's the other most tragic thing, right? Is when all your mates have like copped off with someone, right? And they're all sort of like, I'm just going to go eat a kebab. And then, oh God, I feel sick even saying this. I then hang around at the kebab shop chatting to the guys. Like I work there. I go and go, hi guys, how you doing? You're like, yeah, you well, yeah, good. I just get a large donor. And then I'd sort of stand in the corner and eat it and have a conversation with them. And, you know.
Mate, I did the same thing. Your mates have like paired off with someone and you're there pairing off with Zirkov.
Just standing there in a kebab shop in the corner. You're on your own, mate. Yeah. And I was sort of on my own. I come here every week about this time.
And then he starts telling other customers about you. Oh, this guy, a big Arsenal fan. He's your doctor. Just standing there like the fucking, like an ornament in a kebab shop.
The only person who's used the table properly.
Are you in the queue, mate? No, I finished my food. I finished my food a while ago.
I've been here since half 12, mate. All my mates, no, they've all gone off. No, I just couldn't find them at the end of the evening, so I popped in here, just coming here. Most Thursdays, Fridays, I'm in here.
To be honest with you, I come out, I was saying to Ashtaf here, I was saying, actually, we go out. This is the bit of the night I look forward to the most, coming in and getting a little chicken part. Sheesh.
The saddest thing is, try the garlic sauce in here. It's lovely.
Do you know what? Ask them to do you a special chopped chip pepper. It's not on the board. It's not on the board, but trust me, it's amazing.
Davey, mate.
People who come here know.
What kebab shop you met in, mate? What kebab? You know the one with the big tall geezer who comes here every Friday? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll meet you by the sad Asian bloke. Oh, mate.
I'm trying to get you a minicab just to get you home safely. That's the thing where people felt so sorry for you. God, and I remember like even sort of telling people how good the pitters were. These pitters are so doughy. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Sad.
I worry sometimes that we're guilty of like getting into sort of feeling sorry for ourselves on this podcast a bit. But I've lost count of the number of nights during my 20s where my friends would pull and I would just be fucking on my It's just so embarrassing.
Let me tell you, as a man in his late teens, early 20s, right, or through his 20s, there is nothing more tragic, right, than leaving a place on your own, having a solo kebab, having a chat about football and life with the guys who work in a kebab shop, then getting in a minicab home and listening to Magic FM, right? Because if there's one thing that's fucking going to make you take stock of your life, right, is fucking Leanne Rimes or someone coming on at fucking 2 a.m. when you're just sitting on your own, muttering along the fucking words.
Yeah. Just saying to the taxi driver, this is actually a good one. You'd mind turning it up?
But standing in a minicab queue on your own, it was like, you know, after you've sat and eaten your kebab in the kebab shop.
I know. Or reading up on Besiktas, so you've got something to chat about the next time you go in.
Oh, well, I'm thinking about going to Turkey next year, actually, me and the lads. I if you've got any family out there who've got restaurants, I can always go and sit in there after they've pulled in the foreign country. It's a story of fucking, like, Crete, Felaraki. It's like a fucking group, group on Facebook. They've got pictures of, me and you would be on that wall of people, sad people. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you just sort of lurked up.
I've got to be the only person that's gone to Felaraki. They had the same holiday that a priest could have had. That's even the nuns go, just let your hair down a bit, mate.
When me and Gaffin were out in in Crete this year. There's Malia, right, in Crete. And I went there years and years ago. And there was a part of me that wanted to get in the mix of like, sort of like going back there as a sort of like 42-year-old with, yeah, I think I went out there when I was 18, 19, and thinking, oh, I know so much more about life. And then I sort of sat there and thought, number one, I'd be going on my own because Catherine would just go, yeah, there's a chance you'd just go, there's no coming back from you going to Malia on your own, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it could be cool, like one last dance, you know, just going to sort of like, you know, last change. I could go there and just sort of see what it's like. And then I thought, it would just, I'd end up in a kebab shop on my own, but I'd be 42. And it's like, yeah, I remember going there and just literally, like, this is a really tragic thing. I remember, like, standing in Malia, in like, having a kebab late on, and literally looking at people having fun around me and feeling very alone. Like, going back to an apartment block where the walls are painted with laughter and fun. Lying in
I can relate to it. I can relate to it so much.
Lying in bed on your own, right? Getting an early night in Malia, hoping that your friends feel sorry enough for you that they don't shave off your eyebrows. That is, it's a low, man. It's a low.
And the worst thing is that I know if you're anything like me, like I was in those situations, you really allow yourself to feel properly sorry for yourself. Oh, you're not even a hero, but you just properly wallow in it, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just lying in bed like, okay, well, I guess this is my life. Just wanted to come out and have a good time, but I can't.
You're still
the
one.
Like this and my name's
still the
Ronnie.
One just playing in the background. I know, I'll tell you what was fucking up. A CD of Jagged Little Pill by Alice like that.
Just listening to fucking...
I
was the wrong age for it, but I tell you what, if it had come out when I was in those days, I would have listened to fucking Katy Perry Firework. over again.
Ironic was the one. I remember just lying listening to that.
That's true, yeah.
Alanis Morissette on fucking loop, right?
Yeah. It's like being in Falaraki, but standing on your own.
Everyone getting in at 4 a.m. Do you all want toast? Of course, good having you here, mate. It's like having your mum here. Oh, yeah. I remember going to Falaraki, right? I think I was 19. One of the guys I went with, right, jumped in the swimming pool head first in the shallow end and broke his neck, right? And I was still the person most people that on that holiday felt sorry for.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Did he recover fully?
Yeah.
I hope he did. Otherwise, what a horrendous story.
He's a scaffolder now. I don't think it was a break. It was sort of more like of a shattering.
Okay.
Yeah. But I sort of still left that holiday being the most tragic person there. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought the house was getting
broken? Actually wanted to continue a conversation, no.
You thought the house was getting broken into.
Yeah, a few times it's happened. You hear a noise or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm really bad, like, for... every now and again, I'll stay up later than or you come back from a gig or whatever.
Yeah. Adrenaline's
and everyone else is asleep. You manage to freak yourself out a bit. But something happened here the other night where Lisa, I was brushing my teeth.
Right.
We were about to go to bed. And I walked out the bathroom and Lisa sort of like looking down the stairs sort of furtively, sort of looking a bit nervous or whatever. And I said to her, what's going on? What, are you all right? She goes, yeah. I said, what are you doing? She goes, nothing. And I said, are you sure? Nothing. Because she's just so weird at where she was stood.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, nothing. And I said, Lisa, what are you talking about? Why are you like midway down the stairs, sort of looking down the stairs? She goes, okay, so when I was locking up, when you went upstairs to brush your teeth. Yes, I did allow Lisa to lock up when I went upstairs to brush my teeth.
Yeah, you're not coming out of this very well, mate.
Yeah, I know. Normally I lock up, all right? This is one of the few occasions when I didn't. She said, I thought I saw a shadow going across the front of the drive, right? And then when you're brushing your teeth, I heard something.
Jeez, man.
And look, it was nothing. But what I would say is, this is how much faith she's got in me as a husband. She was going to keep that to herself. Like,
so you wouldn't be scared?
Yeah, I don't know. She just thought there's nothing that I could do,
you know,
that I could contribute.
The lowest thing would have been if she'd gone, Theo, can you come here for a minute?
Charlie, boys.
Rob, just go and wait in the bedroom, mate.
We've got to keep your dad safe. Safe from whoever's outside and from himself.
I tell you what, right, we went a few years ago. Me and Catherine went away and we were staying in a villa. And we got there and the guy was showing us around and showed us the patio doors. And he was like, oh, yeah, but these don't lock.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck? I don't think I slept right for the whole week we were there. Like, genuinely. Like, every time I'd hear something, I'd just be like, oh, fucking hell, is it? You know, like that. So any creak or anything. Yeah, especially in a house.
I sort of operate. This is how I operate mentally. Like, there is somebody, or is a group of people, that sit outside my house every night in the hope that one day I'll forget to lock one of the windows.
Right.
Yeah. Like the second that one of the doors is unlocked, they go, I fucking told you it was worth waiting here every night. He's done it. He has done it. Now fucking get your big sacks and let's fill our boots or whatever. I don't know what they carry.
You know,
if you're a burglar, what would you carry stuff in?
I think like Hessian sacks probably still. Yeah, I think
that's
Hessian,
what I think. I think that. But then I felt embarrassed to say it.
No, I think like Hessian sack because you can fold it up, put it in your burglar's jacket. I think a Hessian sack is, I think for a burglar, that's probably 90% of Hessian sacks are people pretending to be Santa Claus and burglars are using those. And actually, fucking shame on the people who make Hessian sacks now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think probably back in the day it would have been an old head bag, but then you've got to go, what can I get in a head bag, really?
Mm.
It depends, I suppose. If you're going to a burglary with a head bag, it's a sparse old, you know, what you're going to get in a head bag, probably a Nutribullet. A
couple of badminton rackets.
Yeah.
Running shoes. A towel.
Maybe some like crisps and Coke. Gonna come back tomorrow and get some more stuff.
Yeah. This is gonna take fucking ages. It's gonna be about a month before I get everything I want to get from that house.
Start bringing shit back. That YouTube really got stolen, but it's been brought back.
No, a couple of days used it. I didn't know. I wasn't getting anything.
You know what? I'm not a juicer, mate. I'm not a juicer. Yeah. It's a bit of a fact.
You have to get the fruit and vegetables in advance. I don't
just
think
just a post-it note on it saying this is broken. It's a weird thing, though. Abroad as well, crickets are the worst things. And the bugs that you get out in Portugal.
What are those things called? Cicadas?
Yeah.
Cicadas?
Be careful of them because they're very loud.
What do you mean, be careful of them?
Well, no, they sound human in a weird way. Like, when you hear them...
Well, unless that human is doing an impression of a cricket, I don't...
No, but there are sounds where you go, oh, shit, what was that? And I think in England, no insects are up after 8 o'clock, right? You know, probably moths, that's it, right?
Yeah,
you seldom see flies and bugs after 8 o'clock, unless it's a really sunny evening, right? In, like, Portugal, Mediterranean countries, you've got bugs that are awake 24/7, haven't it?
Yeah.
If anything, they're awake more at night than they are at day now.
Sure. But,
yeah. So you've got to be really careful.
Mm. We got an email in last week saying that almost nothing we said about butterflies was factually correct. Well, that's not just you. That's both of us.
What, is it a butterfly expert?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Actually. Not butterfly expert, butterfly enthusiast.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you think that would probably be like the suckiest holiday would be me, you and a butterfly enthusiast are going away?
You and I going, the three of us going to the Eden Project.
No, because then the butterfly project, like, they're going to be fucking killing it. They're the fucking coolest person there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
They're the...
They're what?
The kid when I was younger was the fucking...
Oh, right, okay, fine, yeah.
Let me tell you about right? Was tough, strong. Back in the 90s, he had a ponytail, right? He was devilishly handsome. And he had just this swagger about him. He could, like, you know, he used to wear like a sort of bench.
Before you carry on, have you had the decency to make up a fake name?
No. His name was.
I'm pretty sure legally, just so you know, I'm not a legal expert. I'm pretty sure this puts us on quite shaky ground.
No, he was a very cool guy, right?
Every time you name somebody, yeah, but then we're throwing ourselves open that is going to think this story about him is positive. Have you seen the news story about that baby from Nevermind, that from the Nevermind cover suing Nirvana? You see that, right?
Yeah, but it's a bit different. I'm like, I'm not showing a picture of Willie out when he was a kid.
Well, fucking Mr. Barth, we absolutely fucking career ended, didn't we? Let's hope he's not got a legal team.
Right. I'm saying, was like we're talking about this butterfly enthusiast being at the Eden Project, right?
Yeah.
At any nightclub in England in the 90s, stroke Europe in the summer, right? He was good looking, long hair, used to bust like a fucking cool looking shirt, jeans, signet ring, Patrick Cox's, right?
Yeah.
But then out of nowhere, if you're in a karaoke bar with right, he would get up and sing, and he would sing something like The Greatest Love of All, right?
How old were you when you two hung out?
From about the age of 16. Yeah, so like 19.
So between 16 and 19, you and your mates would regularly go to karaoke bars?
No, but they used to have karaoke nights.
That was your
idea
of a night out?
No. No, but they'd have karaoke in some of the cooler bars.
I don't know what I would think if I was at a bar and a group of 16 to 19-year-old lads fucking bang up for the karaoke.
Mate, when you were away, we used to go to karaoke bars when we were abroad.
Right, okay, fine.
And then, you know, you'd see like all this, and then you'd see and he'd just fucking, he'd be just drinking a wicked or whatever, or a hooch, and then he'd just get up and sing like The Greatest Love of All. And he'd turn around.
This guy.
He sang beautifully.
Right.
He looked like sort of Steven Seagal vibes and sang like George Michael.
Okay. Looked like Steven Seagal, sung like George Michael.
Yeah. He was incredible. I think he actually auditioned for the X Factor years later. I heard anyway.
Nothing about this, if I was would I want shared.
I don't know what happened to him, but I think about him from time to time.
Do you ever reach out to people that you used to hang out with?
You know what? If there's one person I'd like to see, actually, I'd love to see what he's doing now.
Yeah, because he happens to be the person we talked about for the last few minutes. As I say, you normally sort of want to reach out to people or suddenly become obsessed with people.
No, I just think now and again.
Yeah, no, do you know what? The one person I'd love to speak to more than anyone else in the world ever is somebody who I've never mentioned up until this point for the year that we've been doing this podcast, but I've been talking about exclusively for the last 5 minutes from. That's the guy I'm most obsessed with.
You know, when I think of there's an amazing Johnny Cash song called A Boy Named Sue. Have you heard it?
Okay, no.
And at the end of it, he's
talking... Is Johnny Cash good? Because
Johnny Cash is amazing.
You and Beckett are both Johnny Cash
is
advocates.
Incredible.
Right.
Every rapper, every singer learned something from Johnny Cash.
Okay.
A Boy Called Sue is probably one of the greatest songs ever written.
Okay.
And there's a line at the end, and he says, I think about him every now and then, every time I try, and every time I win. Right? And that's what I think about.
I do think about people that I used to go to school and think it'd be nice to get in touch with them. But occasionally...
I should add, by the way, that there's a very good chance that would not even remember me. Like, he was a very cool guy. I was in the very outside perimeter of he was like the coolest guy. It strikes me that
I imagine he'd remember the sort of the guy that every time he went up and sung at the karaoke was just sat there with eyes like Puss in Boots from Shrek, just in absolute awe his hero. I imagine he'd remember that.
Did you have anyone like that
that I used to admire?
Yeah
loads of people. Yeah, like there'd be like people in the, I would consider to be the cool gang at school that I would really sort of, you know, you sort of, I imagine you did the same. You've just described it. You sort of operate on the fringes of that group.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you walk past them at break time, you say something, a few of them laugh, and you're fucking walking on air for the rest of the week.
Someone describe you as being actually all right. Yeah. No, he's actually all right.
We got a couple of us going into town if you fancied. What? Little old me? Ramesh Ranganathan from Broadfield?
Don't wear your blazer, mate. Don't wear your blazer. Tucking your tie into your shirt. Undoing your kickers so they're nearly falling off your feet.
Just looking in the mirror, playing with like how much of your shirt you're going to have pulled out or not.
Fucking hyperventilating.
Maybe I should have my laces undone. Should I wear the bag with the strap right across the body?
Everything changes so quickly at school. When you go in the toilets, it's like laces are undone. By the time you come out, well, you've got to do your laces up. It's really bad for your back.
That sort of playing with your uniform,
yeah,
to try and make yourself look cool. I spent so much time doing that. I mean, it's amazing. I know uniform's supposed to stop all of that. It's meant to be a level playing field, but there was a lot of kind of...
Let me tell you, I could leave for school in the morning with a pair of trousers that just about fitted, right? And by the time fucking the final bell would ring, they would be too short for me. Like, I'd be killing school now.
Yeah.
Literally, like, bless my parents, we didn't have much money. I went through trousers so fucking much. I literally would have a growth spurt about fucking 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. That'd be it. Mum would be trying to sew bits onto the bottom of them.
My issue was because my waist was so massive in comparison to my height, Mum would... My mum was constantly cutting the bottom of legs off trousers, where the waist that she'd have to buy was proportionate to an 8-foot man.
I was just so long and thin.
Oh, God. Man.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, should we do some emails?
Let's do it, boy. Let's do it.
Thanks once again to the Swan.
Has she been enjoying doing the emails out there?
I think she's found it slightly pressured, if I'm being honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that's a complete exaggeration. What I mean is, like, she's wanted to do the job properly and she's been nervous in that holiday mode Swan. In the same way that I had kind of a breakdown on the last episode about my performance.
Yeah, by the way, loads of people are saying how amazing you are, so...
Yeah, but they've said that because I sort of had a sort of a bit of...
Also, do you know that swans are the only birds in the world that don't go on holiday?
Is that true?
Yeah.
So emus go on holiday, do they?
Yeah, they'll go to different countries. They fly to different
emus
countries.
Emus will?
Everything.
They're flightless. It's a flightless bird.
All right, so they're not a proper bird. They've fucking got no right in calling themselves
a bird. Of course
it's
a proper bird.
If they can't fly, they're not a fucking bird, are they? What a stupid thing. Like, the point that that's literally like, I was saying,
what is an emu? What is an emu then?
I'll tell you what, an emu is probably, well, it has to come out of a new name for them, a lug. Do you know what I mean? Because if they can't fly, I don't think they've got any right calling themselves a bird. I'm sorry.
So you're saying, so a kiwi's not a bird?
No. Like, if you can't fly, like, right, okay. I think you have to look at stuff and go, the whole point of a bird is they can fly, right? Because otherwise you go...
Your obsession with things having a point is part of your problem with understanding existence.
Right, so things pigs... Let me just say, pigs are made to feel fucking stupid because they can't fly. Every time anything you think anything's so ridiculous, you'll go, oh, if pigs could fly, pigs should turn around and go, what about fucking emus,
Tom,
mate?
Tom, nobody said that since 1973, first of all, okay? don't drop that like that, some sort of topical bugbear.
I'm just saying, right?
Why are people always saying pigs might fly?
No, I'm saying pigs get dug out of all the farm animals for being one.
Okay, first of all, nobody. I don't think I've ever heard you say that before today. That's the first thing.
Right? No, because I don't agree with it.
I don't think I've anyone. I don't think I've heard anyone say. Second of all, you've got to be the only person that interprets that as pigs getting dug out for not being able to fly.
No, I think it's horrible.
I mean, fucking hell.
Whoever came out with
that. You'd have to be a real fucking snowflake pig to take that as offensive your people.
No, right. No, if I was a pig, right, say me and you are pigs, right, and we're sitting in a pen, right?
Yeah. Doesn't take the longest walk down Imagination Lane, does it, that?
No. A farmer's walking past with his son, and his son turns around and goes, I wonder if Charlie's going to have got, like, the house all nice and neat by the time we get home, and his dad turns around and goes, shit, pigs will fly, right? I would turn around to you as a pig and go, why not cows or horses? Why are we getting dug out all the time? That's what I think if I was a pig. Because pigs actually, as we've talked about before on here, are fucking intelligent and they can understand exactly what's going out and what's happening.
I don't think they can understand conversations. But
I think they know if people are taking the piss out of them and making them feel stupid for not being able to fly. And then they're looking over at emus and going, well, they fucking don't fly. Why don't you say if emus could fly? They're more fucking stupid than we are. They've got wings and they can't fly. We haven't even got wings. What are we supposed to fly with? Our little tails? Think about it, mate.
Okay.
Now you're stumped.
I'm not stumped. I sort of feel like this conversation needs to come to an end.
Right, but all I'm saying, so my point before all this was that swans are the only bird that don't go on holiday.
No, the only thing that you consider a bird that don't go on holiday.
Right, okay. Emus and whatever who can't go on holiday, right? They can't just pack a bag and get on a plane, can they? Do you know what I mean? So that
do you ever say stuff that you regret? I'll be honest, do you know when you went to me, you're stumped there, aren't you? Can I tell you what was honestly happening? I just want to own up. I wouldn't normally own up. I was gutted that I'd said the words Imagination Lane. That is what genuinely happened. As soon as I said it, I thought, who the fuck says that? And then you carried on talking for a bit, and I was entertained by what you said, but I was sort of reeling from it. Do you ever have that?
Yeah.
You don't strike me as really having that much.
I do now and again. But most of the time, I will fight my corner.
I know you will. We know for a fact that you'll fight your corner even if you know yourself to be wrong, because you being right is much less important than the other person stopping talking, as far as you're concerned in a conversation.
Right. That's the only thing I was saying, is of all the birds that can fly, swans are the only ones who do not go on holiday.
Okay, but do you consider birds that can't fly a bird? You're calling them a lug, is that right?
They can call themselves a bird, I haven't got much time for them. That's what I'm saying, yeah?
Do you not think you're sort of being slightly contradictory? You're being quite defensive of pigs. Right.
Yeah, because I think pigs get a bad rap all the time.
Because they provide you so much of your basic diet.
No, you also think it stinks like a pigsty in here.
Yeah.
Pigs don't fly. I just think you smell like a pig's ass.
Do you know who you sound like? Do you know who you sound like? Peter. Do you know Peter?
Who's Peter?
You know the animal rights group?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's one of the biggest compliments you've ever paid me, so thank you.
Okay, cool. So they issued a thing. Let me just they issued a statement a while ago about exactly what you're talking about, right? And it was like, hold on one sec. I just need to find this. So they basically said they're fed up with people using animals in a derogatory way in these sayings, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't mention pigs. Actually, they do a bit, right? So here you go. They put out a tweet saying, stop using anti-animal language, okay? And I'm going to give you some examples of the phrases that they want stopped and the the replacements.
Can I just say, by the way, that I don't think any animal in the world gets a fucking rough ride that the pigs do, but anyway.
Okay, fine. All right. Yeah. Let's see what you think of these, all right? So first up, so they've given the example that they want stopped, and then they've given a substitution, all right? Okay, so the first one is, kill two birds with one stone. They want people to stop saying that, okay?
Yeah.
You got any suggestions for what the replacement would be?
I don't know. Hug two birds with one arm?
It's not that fair. I mean, it's not that far enough. Feed two birds with one scone.
That's actually quite sweet. You know? I quite like that. Yeah. As long as one of the birds isn't an emu, he's just walked over.
Fucking hell. Okay. Be the guinea pig. They want that stopped.
Actually, by the way, I think that's actually more than anything an honour for the guinea pigs for someone to try.
It's compliment the word you were struggling for there.
I think it is own the guinea pig, maybe. I don't know.
No, the problem is the animal being included in the phrase, isn't it? Yeah. So it's be the test tube is what they've suggested.
Why is this? Yeah.
Okay. Next one is beat a dead horse.
Stroke a dead stroke a live horse.
It's actually very close. Feed a fed horse is what they suggested.
Wow. That's, yeah.
Now this one's a bit closer to your heart, bearing in mind that you're such a pig activist. They want people to stop saying bring home the bacon.
Another one. Right, which I forgot about. Yeah.
Yeah. They're suggesting bring home the bagels.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really.
You happy with that? You happy with that?
Well, you could just say bring home them all.
I know for a fact, if you were under the impression that Catherine was bringing home a bag of bacon and she revealed it to be a bag of bagels, I don't even know what your fucking reaction would be.
No, but I would be happy if the bagels had bacon in them. Bacon and chicken. Shout out any bagel store, by the way. Still some of the most honourable people in the business.
Yeah, shout out all bagel stores. And then the last one, I'm sure there's more, but the last one is take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, okay. Hold the bull dearly?
No. Take the flower by the thorns is what they suggested.
Wow.
Now, I actually, I did a tweet saying that I thought that was a load of shit, by the way, when it first happened. And Peter sent my agent an email.
Really?
So, yeah, sort of explaining what... I'd done a tweet going, this is why people think that vegans are lunatics because of stuff like this. And they sent an
email. By the way, I just want to make a statement quickly here. Yeah. I am not a vegan.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was under that impression. Even as you said that and you leant into the microphone, I could smell pork.
Yeah. So shout out the
Tom is you're anti-vegan, aren't you?
Anti-vegan.
You hate vegans.
The way I look at life is it is a big dance floor, and everybody's welcome to come and have a boogie.
Mm. I felt a bit harsh saying that pork thing.
I found it quite amusing.
I thought it was better.
Don't question it. It was funny.
Okay. Time for some...
You looked so pathetic when you said that.
I'm sorry, it's just because, like, I don't know.
You know who you reminded me of then?
Go on.
Jeremy Corbyn, when he was going toe-to-toe.
Oh, fucking hell. Do you know what? Don't get me... By the way, Jeremy Corbyn is something... I don't know if you... I know you don't tend to do political jokes. I made one joke about Jeremy Corbyn on the Ranga Nation, and I had to come off Twitter for about 2 months, I'd say.
Why?
It was because Corbyn fans are like, honestly, mate, militant. It was insane. Like people were messaging me going, I will never, ever engage with anything you do ever, ever again after that show. I mean, like when the Tories got back in, I'd get messages after the election going, happy? Happy with your work?
I kind of dig Corbyn's vibe. He seems like a gentle soul.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
No, mate, you are like my best bud, right? I look at you and think, you know, we're best good pals. You remind me a lot of Jeremy Corbyn at times, so I'll probably get on with Jeremy Corbyn.
How do I remind you of Jeremy Corbyn?
Definitely not the vegan thing, I guess.
Yeah. He's both. Not vegan, I don't believe. Both Arsenal fans.
Yeah. Both wear glasses. Both have beards.
I mean, so far, you're also describing yourself. You're aware of this, aren't you?
He's actually, if he's not a vegan, it's 3-3.
Okay, let's do emails. Dear Rom and Tom, this is from... Alex Taylor.
Yo, AT.
Dear Rom and Tom, I've recently started listening to your podcast while I'm on night shift at work. I know you don't like people complimenting your work, so I'll call it shit to make you feel good. I'm after some relationship advice. Me and my girlfriend have recently split, and my previous two relationships have ended shortly after I've got a new job. My question is, how in your previous or current relationships do you deal with big changes in life decisions? Hold on. Me and my girlfriend, I sort of don't understand this. Me and my girlfriend have recently split, and my two previous relationships have ended shortly after I've got a new job. My question is, how in your previous or current relationships do you deal with big changes in life decisions? Okay. Tom?
Yo, AT. Firstly, I would like to say that, you know, when in big changes, I'd like to think that I was like a small twig on the shoulders of a mighty river, just going with the flow. But life isn't like that, because that river will kick every time and now and again. The twig will feel uncertain as it hits rapids and such. So what you have to try and do is realize that when starting a new job or doing any new thing, to try and make it, sort of trying to acclimatize as quick as you can, you know. The truth of the matter is, sort of like, a work-life balance is a very, very difficult thing to strike. I find that hard. I know that Ramesh does. And I think it's, especially when something's new and you're probably trying to make a good impression, I think it's sort of trying to make that person in your life feel as important as the new job you've got, or, you know, the new things that are happening. I think, you know, it depends as well what you're doing. I think it's, you know, I think we all put a lot of emphasis on work, because we have to, you know, because we all need to earn a living. But actually, the other things that we're building are as important. And I think you've got to put the mileage in there and sometimes show the sort of attention to those personal things that you show to your work, and try and grow within your life as you do within your work.
My God, that was beautiful.
I mean, really, I should take my own advice at some times.
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely should. Alex, thank you so much for your email. I actually think it's quite an interesting point, this, because I sometimes think about this with Lisa, where, like, when we first got together, I was a teacher. So I just basically, I mean, look, teaching is the most stressful job I've ever done in my life. But you work during the day, you're marking in the evenings, I guess, but you don't do a lot of evening work. You know, you're at home. And then suddenly I decided to become a comedian, where I was out every night and I was working all hours at God sent. So, and then I was doing that while I was teaching. Now, I'm not just trying to say that to make it about me, but I did think to myself, Lisa has now got herself a very different deal to the one she signed up for. Do you know what I mean? Like, the circumstances of this relationship have changed so much. And that can happen a lot. You know, like, as you go through your, you know, when you get together with somebody, you have a very, you get together with someone and you've got whatever job, or you're doing whatever you do. And then suddenly you might get into a job where you think, this is really important to me, and I want to go all out to make it work. And then that means you're putting yourself into your job. But as Tom says, you've got to make sure you're not neglecting your relationship. And if your partner decides that that new situation isn't for them, you've both got decisions to make. Your partner's got to make a decision about whether they're willing to carry on in the relationship regardless of the fact that circumstances have changed. And if they're not willing to carry on with that, then you've got to make a decision about whether this job, you're willing to sort of carry that on and potentially jeopardise the relationship or give that job up. I mean, I wasn't making a lot of money from comedy. We've talked about this a few times, but I wasn't making a lot of money from comedy and I was away a lot. I reckon I was like 6 months away from quitting and going back to teaching, you know, for the sake of our kids and for the sake of my relationship, you know, like, so. But I always believe that whatever happens is a thing that's supposed to happen. So if your relationship ended as a result of you changing jobs, that's what was supposed to happen. There's no, like, if you start panicking about trying to make things go in a certain way, I just think no good can come from that. If you change your job and you really love that job and you want to do that job and that's really important to you, and that relationship comes to an end as a result, then that's what was supposed to happen, man. Do you know what I mean? Because you've got to do what you really want to do, what makes you happy. If being in that relationship makes you happier than the job does, then you've got to rethink your job situation. Or you talk to your partner about whether they're willing to sort of make a compromise on that or whatever. Whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. So don't let it stress you out too
much. As I always say, my friend, is judge the surfer, not the waves.
Sure. What do you mean by that? I mean, it actually sounds quite profound. What do you mean by that?
Like, so the waves aren't going to change. The waves are the waves in the sea, right?
Right.
Yeah, obviously, you know, subsequent to weather and tides and stuff. But it's up
the
to
waves
the...
do change quite a lot. I mean, every wave is right, every wave is different. You know, it's a terrible example,
the waves,
isn't it?
The waves, no, the waves are very natural, right? They're there, right?
Right.
If a surfer falls off the surfboard, is it the waves' fault or is it the surfer's?
Okay. But I mean, my point would be nobody's ever blamed the waves for a surfer falling off.
Well, I might say it's a bit choppy out there today. I don't know. I've never really been around surfers.
No, yeah. but you're confident enough to use that analogy in this case.
I've used it quite a lot recently. I thought about it the other day. Yeah.
It actually sounded quite profound.
No, it's like any thought of anything that's profound. Sounds profound, sounds great until you've got to explain it.
Yeah, until you're actually surfing and you think every one of these waves is different and they're changing all the time.
But so is life. Absolutely no sense. So is life, my friend. Right?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, sure.
Mate, if it was a steady sea, there'd be no surf. Sometimes it's rocky, sometimes it's ripe. Remember that.
Oh, God. All right, okay, next email. This is from... I'm going to keep this guy anonymous, but... hi, Rom, Tom and Lisa. Just wanted to start off with how much I'm loving the pod. I've been over-enamoured with the amount of howling I've been doing throughout. Thank you very much. It's a very wolfy thing to say.
Yeah.
I've got a question about getting engaged. I've been with my girlfriend for 4 years and I'm planning on asking her to marry me on her 30th birthday, where we're going to have everyone together to celebrate, including my family too. Does that mean that the celebration is being organised for the proposal? I don't know. I'm old school and I want to ask her dad in advance, but here lies my quandary. He will tell her mum and then the whole of the South Coast will know and she'll definitely tell my girlfriend. What would you advise? Ask him the day before and swear him to secrecy or getting the lawyers involved with an NDA? Haha. If you're ever on the South Coast again, beers are on me and an invite to the wedding too. Love to you both. Come on, you irons.
Wow.
P.S. James, you're doing a sterling job. A little bit of...
Oh, JT gets some love there. And rightly so. Yeah. I think we should all just... Yeah. Let's just take a second because JT is the beat of this. He's the heartbeat of this show. He very much is. And I love the man. So, yo, JT, keep doing you, brother. Back to the matter a la hand. I would say that I think it is a strong and it's a noble thing to ask the father. But I actually think in a situation like this, it was a bit different for myself, but I think in a situation like this, I think in modern times to ask both the parents, to sit with them both and say, because actually I think genuinely, I think it would be a touching thing. And I think to turn around to a mother and father and say, look, you know, yeah, I've been waiting to do this for a long time. You know, and I think in that situation, I think you saying to the mother, your future mother-in-law, that, you know, it would mean a lot to me that, you know, this isn't going to become a thing for everyone to know if we could just keep this to ourselves. And then I think everyone in the situation feels that they're involved. I think if you turn around and say to your, you know, your sort of father-in-law to be, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I want to, you know, would you allow me to marry your daughter, which, you know, is a sweet sentiment, whatever you're gonna, whichever angle you're gonna come at it, don't tell your wife. Go and tell your wife not to tell anyone else. I think feels like you're straight away ostracizing your mother-in-law. I think sitting them both down, having a nice chat. I think it builds a sort of relationship with you all there. Yeah, if I'm going to be honest with you, like, you know, out of my parents, my dad's probably a far big one. Both my parents are gossips. So I sort of like, you know, I dig you there. My father-in-law actually is a very, yeah, he's a very sweet man. He's the sort of person he'd keep it to himself. But yeah, I think, sure enough there. But I think... Just Ron's face. I think tell them both, man. Sit them both down. Cup of coffee.
I think that, Tom,
and a chocolate twist from Costa. Shout out chocolate, Tom, twist from Costa.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful advice.
Thank you.
Can I just say, once again, the wolf has delivered.
Man, I'm not just here special to howl and make you just.
Yeah. Also, Tom.
Yeah.
Shout out the chocolate twist. The Ranganathan boys, Costa pastry of choice, that, the chocolate twist.
It doesn't surprise me. They are three young men with incredible taste.
They love you, actually. They're going to be very excited that you like the chocolate twist.
Yeah, I love the chocolate twist. So I'll tell you what, I like the chocolate twist. My gut doesn't.
Oh, God.
You can quote me on that.
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah. Well, listen, Anon. I totally agree with Tom on that. The truth is, I think if you say, please, can you keep it a secret, they probably will do. You know, that's the truth of it. So I love that idea of asking both the parents and letting them in on it. And I think, actually, that's a really lovely way of bringing them in. It's a really respectful way of doing it. It is insane to be asking the dad, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, I think
I know it's old school, but it's mental.
And also, in the time, let me just say, by the way, when this became a thing, fathers had little to do with their bringing up of their children. But mothers did all of the heavy lifting. They did all of the, and they're going to, maybe a generalization, but men of that generation weren't, like most men with that, can I marry you? I'd love to marry your daughter. I'm in love with her. Yeah, go on then, mate. Yeah, great. Yeah, enjoy it. Do you want a pint?
Yeah, but I think it's something to do with families coming together and all that shit.
Yeah, but again, it's like, who does all the heavy lifting? It's like the 9 times out of 10, it'll be the mother-in-law's getting together and trying to arrange things to do and like making sure, keeping.
I would say an argument that you're basing how the entire world works on how Sutton works.
No, let me just say what it is. It's the old bullshit thing of like the surname stuff. We've done this. We did it very early on in this podcast. It is the thing of the surname. Mm. It's like, I'd like to give you, I'd say, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think probably 95% of the world would like to change their surname.
95% of the world would like to change their surname.
Yeah. I don't know many people in my life who are really happy with their surnames. My friend James DeFrond, very happy, great surname.
Mm.
Actually, him and his wife, because his wife, her surname was Power. So that's but two really cool names that have merged.
Yeah.
But really a lot of people, I'm not particularly happy with David.
They should have merged that and gone with DePower.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that would have been sick. Right. Yeah. Mine is Davis.
What's wrong with that?
I don't, it's just, well, exactly, yeah. I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's the shrug, Romesh.
What?
It's the shrug. What's wrong with that?
I'm There's shrugging at your distance.
It's very beige. I'll tell you what, mate. It's a croissant in a world of fucking chocolate twists, Davis is the surname.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Have you got any chocolate twists? Tom.
Oh, we haven't got them or any cinnamon swirls. We've got some croissants left. There is your surname.
Yeah, okay, but you're just naming people. We're not the fucking Avengers. You don't have to have a name that makes somebody go, oh my God, that's so sick. I'm going to be called Jackhammer, fuckwit. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just have a normal name.
Hawks, another cool nickname. Got a friend called with a surname Hawks.
Okay.
Even your surname's really cool. Reagan Nathan is a really cool surname. It is an amazing. What was Lisa's surname
you
before?
You possibly undermine it by saying even.
No. What was Lisa's surname before you got married?
Even your foreign name's quite cool.
No. What was Lisa's surname before you got married?
Lisa's surname was Maynard.
I guess that's just pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's quite a lot like Catherine's. Catherine's was Morphew.
Morphew's quite cool.
Yeah. She didn't ever liked it, really.
We thought about combining. Have we talked about this?
Yeah, we did early on. Yeah. I could never imagine you called Romesh Maynard.
No. But I could have been Romesh Ranganard.
That would have been cool. See, there's nothing. Your name, you could literally link to any other surname. It's cool.
Yeah.
Rangavis, if me and you got married.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah.
Rom and Tom Rangavis invite you to their special day.
See?
They're renewing their vows because Tom's had that affair for a year.
Yeah. So, and mine would have been Day for you if we'd combined, or Daynard. 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 Daynard.
Right, should we do one more?
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck, by the way. Okay. This is from the Manatee.
Wow.
Hi, Big Wolf, Little Owl. and the Majestic Swan. Short message to say I feel for the swan after the beef stock incident on your wedding night. Going back to the aliens chat, there's been a lot of news recently about UAP, UFOs caught on camera by the US Army and other chat that we're close to finding extraterrestrial life. This got me thinking about how humans as a species don't have a great track record of dealing with other species.
I can know. This is very apt.
What do you think humanity's react? This is a, do you know what? For a quick email to finish off the podcast, this has been, I would argue, potentially an error. This has got me thinking about how humans as a species don't have a great track record with dealing with other species. What do you think humanity's reaction to finding extraterrestrial life would be? And why do you think that reaction would end up with our imminent demise? Love the work, guys, brackets and gal, the Manatee.
Wowzers. You know what? I think everything we've been talking about in this podcast really with vis-a-vis pigs and all the other stuff.
Well, hold on. Is there an argument that we could use your wrap-up to deal with this email?
Wowzers.
I mean, we've not done it before, but I mean...
Yo, Messi. What's that you're passing me? Oh, it's not a ball, it's the buck.
No, let's answer it. Okay.
No.
I'll take your point.
Actually, Rom. Time is pressing, and I think I've got something here.
Okay, go on.
Yeehaw. Take a look at yourself. Who are you? Yeah, you're a human or a very clever animal who somehow managed to switch his podcast on and listen to it. Shout out to all the pigs in the world. But maybe in a way, sometimes we enclose our thoughts just to think too much, really, about just being human and our own plights and our own injustice. And for that, there is many. But how do we want to be perceived? Like sometimes when you're walking past a farm, you know, do you go for a piss in the bushes, not thinking about that that's actually a cow's bed or where a horse likes to lay his head? You know, do you ever think about what a dog or a cat may think about you? Probably not, though you carry a consciousness about them. The truth of the matter is, out there somewhere might be a group of people or a group of species who are actually more intelligent than us. And one day, as we're being filed into fields or aquariums by these species, we shall cast our minds back and think of the earnest pig, stroke cow, stroke horse, or even an emu, and think, you know what? Maybe we should all try just to be a little bit kinder. I'm not saying don't eat meat. I'm saying value the stock from whence it's from.
Well, that was...
Arguably, that's about me with a hot pie. I think I bit off more than I could chew.
That was really lovely, Tom. That was really lovely.
I tried for a bit of poignancy.
Yeah, no, it's really nice.
Actually, can I just say one thing as well? And this is my bad. At the end of last week's roundup, I really wish that we put Whitney Houston in singing.
Why?
Because it was all about Whitney Houston singing. I feel we should, yeah, we should have.
Oh, right, okay. Would you want to put it? Why don't you request a tune to go in here now?
Yeah.
So let's think about the messages from what you're saying when we're being put into sort of aquariums. Yeah. And just have a respect for different life forms, I guess. Is what we're...
Can you think of a song that does that?
No.
Something by Celine Dion, maybe. By the way, I've been listening to a lot of Celine Dion, and I find a lot of solace within Celine's voice.
I don't even want to know what set of circumstances led you to press play on that.
Listen, we can't all be cool fucking guys sitting there with our fucking sneakers on listening to hip-hop. Sometimes...
Speaking of which, just very quickly, I know this is not a hip-hop podcast. Yesterday, Kanye West dropped his new album.
Yeah.
1 hour and 45 minutes, that album is.
Is it good?
I've got no idea.
Have you listened to it?
I've listened to it once. I'd love you to listen to it, Tom. A little bit of homework for you.
I will listen to it.
Why don't we tell the Wolf and Owl Pack what we think of the album when we next meet?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we might do an Insta Live, mightn't we? Because you and I are meeting up soon, aren't we?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Oh, we should jump on the Insta Live and give some people some of that.
Give some of that sweet jus.
Okay. We should have ended this a few minutes ago. That much is clear. Tom.
Well, you know
what?
Song-wise, I'd like to throw out a dedication.
Go on.
This one's for you. Greatest love of all.
Oh, very nice. James, please only play 15 seconds of it. I don't want to pay for it. Tom, I love you, brother.
Love you, man.
I'll speak to you soon.
I'll see you in Blighty real soon.
Peace out.
Peace, brother.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.